Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, Red? What's going on?
Yo, what's up, Brother B? What's going on?
Not much. Don't you hate when you, like, you look at your watch, and then you look at the clock, and then you look at something else, and they all have a different time? So, of course, I'm not paying attention to the clock on damn Blog Talk Radio. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, it's time. It's time.
Yep, it's time.
What's up? What's good, Red?
What's good? What's going on, Brother B? How's everything going?
You know, if I may get a few things off my chest. First of all, what up, y'all? It is Big Red and Brother B with another episode of our podcast, Our World, you know, community consciousness, culture. You know, thank you to all those that listen, will tune in, download, whichever. You know, hope all is well with everyone. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. On this show, we definitely are all about discussing issues, you know, that plague the black community, black people. And hopefully trying to, you know, talk about some things and work things out, you know, maybe amongst ourselves, and hopefully if someone else is listening, help work things out with them too. But yeah. You know, I just don't understand where the human. Like, I just don't understand, like, how logic or being logical just really escapes people. Like, I love it when people say that they're smart.
Like, went out the window.
And then they turn around, and they say or do stupidness. Like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that, you know, I have to touch on real quick is a lot of people are, you know, making this whole big issue of, you know, talking about police reform, and then people want to talk about, oh, crime is going to get out of control and all this and that. You know, check this out. All right, police reform. Weeding out the bad apples, which is something that is still not being really done. You know, they're making little baby steps, and, you know, I give them that. But what we really asked for is not changing, because since Mr. George Floyd died, or was, I'm sorry, was murdered, there's been, like, at least, I think, at least nine other black people that have been killed, you know, by police.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nothing is really, you know, changing to a degree. Some of them are getting charged, some of them are getting fired, and that's good. But then you also have some cops, and when you do see them, it's always the bunch of Caucasian cops that are either beefing about how people are disrespecting the badge, or they're talking about they want to quit. So you're trying to tell me that you're willing to quit a job and give up your pension and not take care of your family. Why? Because you can't put someone in a chokehold anymore?
Right, because you can't put somebody in a chokehold, especially a person of color.
Yeah, or someone is asking for you to be accountable for your actions. You know, once again, the idiotic shit that people say and do, and they try to justify it, straight asinine. Straight asinine. And
absolutely.
My thing is, you prove everyone right and yourself wrong with the dumb shit that you say and do. Because when you want to sit there and talk about, oh, we don't need this, or stop, you know, treating us like the bad guy or the animals or this and that. But then you turn around and you say, oh, I'm going to resign, or I'm going to quit, or we're going to do a protest. Protest? What are you going to protest? So you're going to stop doing your job because somebody said you can't choke someone? Somebody says that
right.
You have to be accountable? Maybe, you see, and this would lead me to the point of saying, if you only had one goddamn job, if nothing else, protect, right? Protect and serve, right? But then you turn around And when you see something, you don't say anything. So what are you actually doing? What are you
exactly
really doing? You're actually proving everyone, what everybody else is saying, you're proving them right. But see, my thing is this. As the elders used to say, it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to get any deeper in that. But once again, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And all you had to do was the minimum. Keep a lid on your shit, and then maybe things wouldn't have spiraled out of control. But instead, some people just choose to let things spiral out of control. Thus, we have the situations that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get into our topic, call a 111, you're on the air with Our World. How you doing? What's up? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, call a 111, you're on the air.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe call a 111 and just going to sit back and listen. So, once again, like I said, I just had to kind of get that, you know, off my chest. I mean, people being logical about things, it annoys me. Because, you know, a lot of people out there are not anti-police. They're just anti-BS. They're just tired of seeing the same thing happen over and over and over and over again. And that's the thing.
Let me ask you a question.
Once again, huh?
And let me ask you a question. I have to cut you off. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that with that media plays a lot a part in that, like media plays a part of like not hyping it up, but putting a lot of attention on it? Not that it shouldn't be a lot of attention, but you think, I feel that media and social media and just news in general, they put a lot of emphasis on that, and like in terms of like, just like you said, like the white cop, you know, murdering black people. So do you think that like it's like a old, like they just like they making sure that they put emphasis on that? Because I'm sure they brutalize and maybe kill other ethnicities, but it's like targeted mainly black people. So do you think media may have
Well, I do think media plays a big issue, you know, in it, because it's all about setting a narrative. It's all about keeping everyone divided. It's all about, you know, hey, you know, we need a sensational story, and we don't care who it hurts or how it hurts. We just need a story. So that's, you know, that's what they go with, because there's always going to have to be that tale of good and bad, someone against someone else. You know, sadly, it's like this country kind of has this romantic type crazy love story with violence and setting a narrative for there has to be a hero and there has to be a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I have nothing against police. Most people don't, but it's the hiring. It's who wears that uniform. It's who carries that badge. That's the issue. It has nothing to do with the police. It's the individuals that take these jobs and they turn around and they do stuff that they just shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And I think that's the big issue right there. But, you know, anyway, enough of that. Unless you got something to say, Red, on with the show, on with the topic, man. Like I said,
no,
I just had
I'm good.
Come.
We kind of, touched on, you know, you touched on everything in a nutshell, you know, like I said, it's just like you said, it's not about being anti-police, just that, you know, just like you said, the hiring of, you know, the individuals that they hire. And once again, once you hire the individual, it's their actions. Watch their actions. Watch how they do, you know, watch how they do what they do. But if everybody has that same, my thing is, if you have the same type of thinking that they do, so then guess what? That's going to get swept under the rug. You're not going to look at it as, oh, well, he actually did something. Somebody, you know what? He was doing his job.
Of course.
Yeah. So.
And, you know, like I will say lastly, it puts good cops. Good people who wear that badge, who get the job, who take on the job for the right reasons. it puts them in the line of fire.
Right.
And see, to me that trumps all of it. To me, that is the biggest, because I know some police. I know some very fine people that have the job of being police officer, and one of them is very close to me, and I worry about him, because the whole thing is, God forbid, something can happen to him because of somebody else.
Yep, exactly.
Just because there's this anti, you know, there's this anti this, so we ain't taking that. Something can happen to him because of somebody else. And if anything, if you're a bad apple, why would you want to spoil the whole bunch for people that don't deserve that drama? It's a very selfish mentality. Yeah,
right.
It's a very selfish mentality and a very selfish apple. But anyway, like I said, tonight's topic, once again, our world. Big Red Brother B. Guest calling number 347-324-3395. Whatever happened to positive black images on TV? Yeah.
What happened to?
I don't know what to say. I mean, there's so many.
I know what happened to him.
I was compiling a list. All right, take the floor, Red. Take the floor.
Well,
take the floor.
I see it as, once again, it's a thing of, you know, just like you said, it's a plan in place. It's the thing of, you know, that has to do with money. It has to do with networks. It has to do with, you know, who they have in charge. So, you know, what happened to it is, you know, the audience is also the audience. People have changed. Things have changed. Nobody has, once again, it's no respect. It's like they feel, the powers that be, I'll say, feel that if you guys are not respecting yourselves, then why should we show you something respectable? We see these videos. Okay, let's say, like, in terms of videos with rappers or even just R&B singers or whoever. So now, if you see a video and, like I said, everybody is, you know, have negative, ain't nobody no holes on rappers. All he talk about, well, and especially these days, all he talk about is B's and, you know, H's, and all he do is, you know, the girls in the video, everybody, like I said, nobody got clothes on, or, you know, they doing the ratchet stuff and shaking it behind, and, you know, in the strip club, and, you know, it's just like, and these kids or these young, and like I said, that's the impressionable ones, the young ones. They flock into it. This is what they feel is hot in the streets or hot what's going on. So powers that be figure, oh, that's where we getting our money from. Okay, because you know about those Nielsen ratings and all of that stuff. This is where we're getting our money from. This is where we get our audience from. So you know what? Let's show them more of what they're doing. We don't want to show them, you know, we don't want to show them the positive stuff, because you know what? The positive stuff, they don't want to see, because you know what? They're not going to watch our network if we show them positive stuff.
All right. Now, with that being said, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
100%. But all right, let's take it back to, like, you know, I believe like around the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. Like,
okay.
So, well, I'll just keep it in the 90s. So you had a lot of black shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would deal with Sister Sister. You had Cosby Show. You had A Different World. Hang with Mr. Cooper. 227.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm forgetting a lot. Because there was a lot. I remember one.
Family Matters. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Bel-Air, yeah.
Okay. Now, Martin. Wayne's Brothers.
Exactly. and there's a whole lot more. There's a host of a whole lot more. And I'm wondering, now, when you speak of the Nielsen ratings, a lot of those shows are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? As a matter of fact, I remember Bill Cosby had a spinoff show on CBS.
Oh yeah, with him and Claire. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just him and Claire. And you know what? Richard Pryor had a show at one point, but that was before the night. That was a little before the night.
Red Fox.
Red Fox. Oh, he had shows. Now,
the Red Fox show. That was in the '90s, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it was with Della Reese.
Della Reese,
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, what happened? Like, my thing is, did the positive images become too much?
Yeah.
Or was it unrealistic? You know, was it something that no one wanted to continue pushing because maybe it was pushing a certain type of people in the right direction? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't really watch TV now, but when I do kind of look at it, the news is depressing and there's really nothing on because there's nothing on that I can really relate to or choose to relate to. I mean, too many reality shows, which are not really reality, they're scripted. The only thing that is real about it is the bullshit, you know, of people running whatever game to make money. Like I said, I don't understand why we don't have that much more TV program, you know, positive images being shown. Like you look at some of these shows, black person is a drug dealer or a hooker or certain other things. Very rare to have little sprinkles of some, as you know, some law enforcement cats and things of that nature, but you know, nothing that really ever stands out that would say to a kid or someone on the come up like, hey, you know, I like how he's moving. I wanna move like that. You know, not to say that you know, people should, you know, kids out here should base, you know, their lives on what they see on TV. But you know, sometimes, you know, creativity is spawned in different ways, in different forms.
Right,
and sometimes somebody may be watching something.
People.
Yeah, exactly. And they may see something. They'd be like, "Hey, I can dig that. Like, you know, that looks cool. Let me look into it and see if it's something that I really want to do." But the whole thing is, if every time you turn around on TV, black person is a drug dealer, or a chick is loose, you know, a black woman is loose with herself or something like that, or loose with the mouth or whatever. Same thing with a black male. It's like, what do you expect? Like,
but that's what they want.
Of? You know that.
That's what they want. That's what they want.
And that's a sad thing, because the whole thing is what makes it worse is that we as a people don't get it. What makes it bad is that we continue to play into a stereotype. There was this actor, I forgot his name, of course. I think he was the one that was supposed to star, but he did star in that movie about the Haitian Revolt. I have to look up his name. I was kind of glancing through an article where he was talking about how many roles that he's turned down because he doesn't want to perpetuate the stereotypical, you know, I guess black role, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they always cast him, you know, in some type of negative light, and he doesn't want to play that part, and I applaud him for that. Because the whole thing is like, why? Like, why do we have to always go that route? Why do we have to, you know, be what they want us to be or want to label us?
Portray, right, exactly.
Or want us to portray,
exactly.
Because you know what? To people that don't know black people or have never met a black person, they'll watch the media and they'll look at some of these shows and be like, oh my gosh, these black people are evil. Like, these dark people are evil. Like, I don't, you know. I don't ever want to deal with them. So
right, and they get a lot of that from there, too. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right, they definitely
the
get that from there.
Them. Yeah, the TV
right,
is programming
absolutely.
Them to actually, you know, kind of be like, oh, you know, to have this bias. And it's sad because, you know, us as, you know, melanated people, we're a whole lot more than that. You know, we're bigger than just, you know, what you see on TV, our culture, you know, is way more deeper than that. But then people choose not to take the time, you know, to, you know, want to talk or educate themselves. And it's not my job to be your teacher. We can talk, but it's not my job to be your teacher. And most people choose not to educate themselves because some choose to stay ignorant. Like I said, exactly. I mean, listen, look at Cosby Show. You know, I remember when that first came on and people were like, oh, how are you going to have a doctor and a black doctor and a black, you know,
female lawyer?
Yeah, like that's not realistic. Why not? Like, why can't, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
something
what,
that children, kids should be inspired to do, to be.
Exactly. Like, what's unrealistic about it? What's unrealistic
about the
fact that...
That's just like a different world.
That, mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And then what's unrealistic about the kids not being on drugs or the kids not, you know, sleeping all over the place or doing crimes? What's unrealistic about that?
Mm-hmm.
And what's sad is you even had some black people saying the same damn thing, which frustrated me because it's people like that that still help. They help set the stereotype. Like, they're willing
mm-hmm.
to go along with it, to make it, to give it some type of credibility. But the whole thing is, no matter what your color is, you can be whatever you want to be. But when it comes pertaining to us, we shouldn't have to pigeonhole ourselves to one type of role, or one type of situation. Just because somebody
right.
else says, oh, well, it's more believable if you play this than play that.
Mm-hmm. And that's that, yo. That is, okay, think about it. Denzel Washington with Training Day. Now, he did, ended up getting, you know, award for that. But he did an excellent job in Malcolm X. And they didn't even flinch about that.
Because
you see how messed up that is?
Well, because it was the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. It was the narrative. See, one thing, going back to what you're saying about a different world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black college, you had Cosby, every time he turned around, he was wearing these, you know, he was, anytime he wore a college sweatshirt, it was a black college. You know,
mm-hmm.
he was always repping the black colleges. He was always repping his own. And then, you know, when you took it to a different world, I mean, you had a lot of black kids in college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the premise of the show. It was their
and he was trying to bring that out there. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, you know, what was interesting about it, you know, black kids going to school, the enlistment rate started to go up because, you know what I'm saying? All it takes is sometimes that little inspiration. And to see stuff like that on TV and be like, yeah, if they're doing it, it's more than just, it can be more than just a show because he's showing people some people that may not have that opportunity. They don't even know that there's black colleges out there. They don't know that
mm-hmm.
there's opportunities, you know, such like that. But people like him were opening doors for that.
Yep. You see, they had to shut that down.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, of course that had to be shut down because it was just too positive. It was sadly, it was not, it didn't once again fit the narrative. Because it started educating or bringing about that whole thing of, you know, educating yourself, which, of course,
right.
you know, that is not supposed to be our thing. What's up, Lady T?
Hey, what's up, yo?
Lady T?
I don't have a lot of my voice today because I've been talking a lot today.
You was talking a lot? Oh,
okay.
Yeah, helping out with a rally and stuff like that. Then has to get back home.
Oh, okay.
So I'm out of
okay.
it.
Okay.
But I
was
listening to you guys.
Lemon and honey.
I know. I'll do that later.
And ginger.
Yeah. I always drink ginger and water anyway. That's good for the immune system, period. But with the, you know, the family shows and things like that, right now, all we seem to have is Blackish, and that goes, like, with some comedic, comedic stereotypes and stuff that the networks are pushing and things like that. It's a good show. I think it's Blackish and Mixed-ish. I get the concept of it and why they want to do it like that. It's funny. You know, we need a little humor, but I miss the days of, like, the Chris Rock, what was his show? The Chris Rock show, was it?
Everybody,
I'm trying to remember with
well,
yeah,
you
know, yeah,
everybody
yeah.
Chris?
Everybody Hates Chris, right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You also have to remember around that time it was like the hunger for black television shows that they were just putting them on back to back to back. And we're living in the same kind of time where now we're getting the attention we need. I think we need to go back, at least directors, if y'all listening, producers, off to, you know, capitalizing off of it to put us back on the map because we're not really there anymore. And you also have to remember something that comes into the concept. It's not like back in the day when, how can I say it, you have moms that was home or moms that were doing one job and were able to sit down and watch these shows with the kids based on the time that it was coming on and so forth. You know what I mean? Cool. So it's like, I don't know, it's really, really a different time, I think, that we're living in also, where the focus is more on gossip and reality than building home and structure, or, you know, building a foundation where kids are seeing like a different world. College students at HBCU, you know, universities, colleges, and so forth, you know, going to school and doing their dorm time and things like that. That's what that was about. Even though in between here and there with different world, what I like, they gave you real life issues and things like that. So I don't know. We don't have that structure anymore as far as family goes. So, and the networks don't care because it's about their ratings. You know what I mean? So,
you know, I just find it, you know, very disheartening that we're just like a lot of us are just sitting back, even to the people in certain positions, are just sitting back and just watching the world burn. Just letting it happen because, you know, it doesn't, you know, if depending on what you do or what you say, it may disrupt their bottom line. So it's like, nah, I can't say nothing about that. I mean, it is what it is and this, that, and the third. But we can't continue to be complacent. That's one of the issues right there. We have become complacent with being disrespected. We have become complacent with being stereotyped. We have become complacent with just, you know, being, you know, accepting the trinkets. Never the piece of gold. Or to tell us, hey, you know, there's a mine right there full of it. Go get your own. But we're just giving the trinket. You know, and it's, I just find it like, you know, very interesting that in 2020, we're still doing the same old shit. Like it's really incredible. It's really incredible. That's one of the reasons why I really don't watch TV, because there's nothing on. Because let me ask you something, T and Red. Really, these so-called reality shows, what's real about them? To me, nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing real about it. They tell you one thing, but it's scripted. But yet, people are so much willing to believe that there's some type of reality behind that. So they'll believe that that bogus stuff that's scripted is realer than actually a black couple being successful.
Because they're going to make it real. You know why? Because they make it real. Like I said, you have these shows, supposedly reality shows, just like you said, scripted. These women or men are on there arguing, fighting about who slept with who and this, that, and other, and she don't like me and I don't like her and all this other stuff. Okay. So guess what? Once again, you have someone that is, and I'm not even going to just even say young people. You have people that are up in age and they seem to enjoy that. And guess what? They take that and they bring it into their own lives. They'll look at a situation and say, oh, well, I'm going through the same thing that she going through. Or, you know what? Oh, but I got to be suspicious of my friend because, you know, I don't know if she might be sleeping. You probably been knowing this person for years, but because you watching that BS on TV, now you want to start getting suspicious off of your friend. It's like, are you kidding me?
No. Guess what? I think we want to say it's just reality, but guess what? There's people with certain realities like that. You got ratchet exes that want to be hindering around, like, I'm his best friend, I'm just his friend, and here you go. You're not his best friend. You're his little side piece. So these things really do happen, what happened on reality show. It's just that we're not expecting it to be brought out on TV. These things are really played out in real life. You really
So in other words, it's not their reality. It's yours. And that's what
makes
it
not my reality. But I'm just saying. Listen, it's a reality. Somebody's reality out there. Somebody's relating to that.
But not
I see that.
TV.
Listen to me.
Not
at my age, at my age, I've recently seen something that I had to say, check this shit out. I have a kid to raise. I don't have time to play little girl games because I didn't even need to play those games competing for penis in high school. It was drop a nigga, you find right. another one. I never had to do that. So when, yeah, it was a reality. I had bamboo earrings. I had the Gucci link, the sapphire Gucci link.
I know.
I wasn't playing, all right, no doubt. He looked good with me, but he may not look good with you. Go for yours, boo. He's yours. I'm good with passing it off. Because it was, well, I would see, every time that shit happens to me, you know, you mad at first, wondering what's going on, just like the reality show. But then it's like, hold up, you have him. Give him to her. Y'all be miserable over there. You just, somebody just slides in, just like you see on a reality show. The new dude slides in that been checking for you. Come on.
It's all the same.
So
once again, if
I don't play kid games.
That are getting, I think, so once again, it's people that play these roles that other people
yes.
are living.
Yes, and it's real life. Somewhere those directors are getting it off of real life. It might be in Love and Hip Hop and all of that is beyond messy. They get extra messy, but you got to understand it's acting with some truth. No different from the movies.
Uh-huh.
Acting
right.
with some truth. It's somebody's truth. If I could make, which I'm, never mind. If I could make up a few stories, whoa, especially one of them, it's like, wow, like, ew, wow.
Right, I get like, what you're talking about. I get that.
It's real.
I get that, yeah, you know, and I guess
it's
really like, that's how they look at it, like, it's relate. Yeah, it's, oh, that's,
yeah.
oh, I'm going through that same thing, so it's relatable to them, so guess what, now they're going to look at, my thing is this, they're going to look at it every week and see how it's going to play out for them, and then they're going to either try and hopefully say, well, I hope it plays out that way for me, or I'm going to try to make it play out like that. Oh, she did it that way, well, I'm just, that's what I'm going to do, too.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what I'm saying?
I would
so
just like
just
to say
like,
something
you know,
like to young females out there that's listening to this, and not even young females, because you got females that are like 38 and up still acting stupid over a piece of penis. If that penis is not going to be guaranteed yours for the next, whenever, if he's not putting a ring on it, don't even fight for it. Because you don't even know where you're going to be in the next 5 years if you're still going to be with him. And then y'all might just be trying to push it to say, you know what, we're never going to break up because we got to make
right.
sure the ex suffers. This bitch is not suffering. She's moving on so successful. Her dude might look so banging. She might be with the chick's ex-man, fuck around, and it'd be a nice reality show like that. So don't play.
Okay.
This world is so small. You don't know who knows who.
Right,
but,
that's true.
This is a reality. This is a real reality, but it's played out on these shows. You get my point?
But can't we give? See, my thing is giving the people out there something else. Because like
yeah,
I said,
they should.
Compared to the 90s, from the 90s to now, like, I mean, there is no black television. There's nothing on TV relatable except for trash. There's no real positive. I mean, it's not to knock some of the shows that are out now, but I think some of the shows that are out now are just kind of coasting because then we're like the
there's nothing
jester.
Inspiring.
We're the clown.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. There's nothing inspiring.
Yeah.
It's just it's all about trying to make you laugh and be like, oh, look, honey, how the Negroes are dancing for us today on this episode. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it all it seems
right.
to be.
And
don't I mean,
forget, that's
no
how
substance.
They looked at us in slavery time to be dancing and, you know, singing
yeah,
and playing
just,
our flutes and drums and stuff, entertainment. We were entertainment then, yeah.
Right.
At their level, entertainment at that. So it's
right.
Yeah, I mean.
But
what
about, okay.
Like, what's up?
Let's think about this. How about with, what you call it, I'm going to go a little further back. Let's say with the Jeffersons. Or let me go even further back. I don't know if you guys, well, none of us will remember because I think our parents were young at that time, or maybe my mother and father was married at that time. Julia with what's her name? Diane Carroll.
Diane Carroll. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, like that was more of a positive show. It didn't last very long. I didn't even know she had a damn show, but I'm just saying, like Julia.
Well, the whole thing is it depends on what the premise of it was. Depending on what the premise of it was, why would it last long?
Well,
if it was encouraging young black girls to inspire them to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I love? What's that, Red Pat? I'm sorry.
I think it didn't last very long. I can remember from what I had heard, I heard it from somewhere. They were saying that she didn't want to do the show because she was a single black woman in the show. She wasn't married to anybody, and she didn't want to portray that. But it was still, you know, kind of a good show because, you know, she was black. She was a black woman. She was, kind of successful. I think she was working somewhere, but, you know, she was, you know, like I said, you know, Diane Carroll wasn't playing no, you know, crazy, you know, like that type of role. You know, she was very, you know, respectable role. So that's what I'm saying. Like in terms of that show, I never really watched the show, and like I said, I never knew that she had a show. But when I did see little snippets of it, and she had said she didn't want to play that role because she was a single woman, and she didn't want to portray that to, you know, a black
woman. Well, it was the same thing with Esther Rolle in Good Times. Like, you know, I was reading an interview some time ago that they had with her, like before the whole thing. And she was like, she refused to do it unless they put a father in the show, because they didn't want to have a father in the show. They didn't want, you know, a man in the house. And the whole thing is like, see, that right there is, that may be someone. It's not every black home situation. It's not every black person situation, because there are in a lot of homes there are a mother and a father. But, you know, the TV or the producers wanted to feed something else because they felt it was entertaining. Like, you know, oh, how is this black woman going to get through it with three kids this week? How is she going to do it next week or the week after that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are there going to be hot grits or cold grits? You know, is the electricity going to be on or whatever? But they didn't want the man in the house. And even when, you know, James was there was times where he was working and he wasn't working, which was a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it seemed like he wasn't working as much as he could have been working. So once again, there's the stereotype that's pushed. You know, and I applaud, you know, these actors and actresses that choose not to play into that. Because that's not what our legacy should be, or that's not what, you know, our culture is all about. You know, it's like sometimes people want to make you different from them so they can discredit you. Like the less human you are, the easier they feel what they can just discredit or, you know, disrespect you or, you know, just, you know, treat you any old way they want to treat you. Because that comes from their own insecurities.
A lot of cultures that judge us like that, that's their own insecurity. I don't understand the whole concept, like how they always want to ask a female, so do you know your baby father? As if we just have them, especially black females, and as if we just have them and don't know who the father is to that child or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone will turn around and say, oh, the reason why we ask that question is because, you know, it seems like, you know, when we do the statistics and certain percentage, there's always more girls coming here or women coming in here without their baby fathers than with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know.
It's really sad
that they always classify that with stereotype
of being blacks. And I've seen a lot of white women and a lot of other women who have the same problems, but they won't get that same question.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. Because, you know, the whole thing is it's okay to do it to us, but not to them.
I hate to
keep going back to, you know, this guy. But, you know, I remember when black people were really jumping on Bill Cosby at one point because he came out and said some things that basically a lot of people in the black community didn't like, but in all reality, he was speaking the truth. When he was talking about you need to go get your education, get from in front of the TV, stop laying up and having these babies, this, that, and the third.
I remember that.
What was he saying? Yeah, what was he saying that was wrong? Because, see, the whole thing is black people, they ready to dish it, but they don't want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look within. Like, if we don't take a look at ourselves in the mirror, then what do we expect from everybody else? If we're not taking a hard look at ourselves, if we're out there perpetuating the stereotype that they set, then what? Everybody else wins but you. You want to pop bottles. You want to be, you know, you want to be killing for Jordans. You're doing this and you're doing that. But once again, you see anybody else doing that? Just like when they want to use the whole term black on black crime. I don't give a damn what anybody says. There's no such thing as black on black crime. White people have been killing each other for years.
Crime is crime.
Crime is crime. That's that. But what's sad is you have the house Negroes that's turned around and they're saying, yeah, black on black crime, stop it. Because now you're making the other people feel, you know, and empowered to, like, oh, well, I have one black person that agrees with me, so that means, you know what I'm saying, I'm right. No, that's just one black person. And that's probably one black person that we actually don't need speaking for us, because that one black person doesn't represent, you know what I'm saying, everybody. But some of these TV shows actually represented a positive note, not just funny, but a positive note, positive black family. And it's just gone. It's just absolutely just gone. Even Sanford and Son, as funny as it was, as Jumpman, it was the father and son.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing is I'm leaving this whole empire, you know, to you. This old man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
kill me with that.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
You're gonna
this
have
whole
this
whole
empire.
But you know what? But you know what always got me? He always repped his woman, even though she died. He missed his wife.
Oh yeah.
And
it
was never the time. He repped that, and that's one thing that I caught early on.
Elizabeth.
No matter what, he was always talking about Elizabeth, your mother. There's Elizabeth coming. I'm coming to join you, honey. All that good stuff. He always repped his woman. Now, once again, we have these shows, Bees, Hoes, this, that, and the third, you know, a whole bunch of, you're good for me to sex, but, you know, I'm not marrying you. Oh, you got a kid? Oh. Nah, that's on you. That ain't mine. Type attitude. That's all it is.
Right.
No support system for one another. You look at some of these commercials, some of these ads. You see the black woman with the kid, but you never see a ring on.
Yep.
Some of these shows, some of these commercials, you always see the black woman and the white man. But how many TV shows and shows do you see a black man with a white woman?
Right.
My whole thing is, there's a double standard. There's a dangerous precedent being set, and we're allowing it for the trinket. Because there's nothing, there's nothing rewarding behind it. It's all for the trinket.
But who's behind the networks? Also, you have less black people behind the networks. Like, you know, back in the day, you had more black producers, executive producers on stuff. Now it's not the same. That's something a lot of even Hollywood actors were talking about with movies. That's why you got to give Tyler Perry props for the things people, you know, always say Madea, this, that. But one thing, if you look in every Tyler Perry movie, you may see Cicely Tyson, a Whoopi Goldberg, Taraji. Mm-hmm. He recycles his, I don't want to say recycle, that's probably not the proper term, but he continuously keeps them employed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
like, I understand what you're talking about. Like,
about
Think about this. Think about, like I just said, the Wayans brothers. That family has put so many people on.
Yeah.
And they even when they do other movies, they still implement those same people that they had on in Living. Like, what movie was that? I can't remember. I think it was some of those scary movies, the scary movies, whatever they called. Kenan made sure that he implemented certain people that was on in Living Color into you know, the movies, or when Marlon had his show, he had one of the ladies that was on in Living Color in his show. Like, they always implement people that they put on. They put a lot of people on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they don't.
And that's
don't
what
get
it's about.
They don't get the credit for that.
Absolutely, and that's what makes me mad, because they don't give them any credit. I mean, you know, like, people are like us, but everybody else don't give them any credit for that. They put people on. Like, if it wasn't for them, who you wouldn't know who a Jim Carrey is.
Exactly.
You wouldn't know nothing about it. You wouldn't know nothing about Jamie Foxx.
Or
okay,
J-Lo. It's
like
J-Lo always said that. J-Lo always
or J-Lo.
Said it with her, yeah,
exactly.
With the dancing, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't know who none of them people are.
Do you know what gets me? Recently, I had a conversation with someone, and they actually, one of the things that I kind of despise, this is a few things, but this is just one of the things. Oh, why does it always have to be about color? Why does everything boil down to color? I'm like, ask yourself that question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see it that way. I said it doesn't have to be you. Because, see, the thing is this. If somebody, like, it's like Lady T. If I want you to be left behind, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that I, you know, disable or make sure you're not enabled to move forward.
Why, mm-hmm. you going to blackball me, or I'm going to keep going?
Yeah, it's either or, but the whole thing is, I got to blackball you first. I got to make sure you don't come up. And see, when some people say, oh, why does it always have to be about color? Because they don't want us to have that economic power. They don't want another Bill Cosby. They don't want another Bob Johnson. There's certain people that they don't want. You can't, listen, if you're one of those Negroes that are out there popping bottles and doing all types of weird shit, getting yourself locked up and putting money back into the jail system, whatever, then fine. They'll let you have the run. They'll let you, you know, get money. But if you're going to be responsible and you're going to put more people on, and then you're going to do this and you're going to do positive things, they can't have that. They can't allow that plant to grow.
Clean up your community. I know a few people that happened to already. And they'll
exactly.
try to put them right back in the can if they don't know their laws. So it's really heartbreaking.
It is. It is. And it makes me wonder, when will we ever get it? And I'm part of me is starting to lose hope. I don't want to, but part of me is starting to lose hope. You know, I watched something very interesting, very interesting. Like, and when I say very interesting, like, I think I don't know if I told you about it, Red, but it was something on YouTube. It was a conversation with Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin.
Yeah,
I posted something
mm-hmm.
about it on Facebook. Yo,
mm-hmm.
can you if that was filmed in 1971? One of the best intellectual conversations I've probably heard in years between a black man and a black woman. And what's crazy is for it to be filmed in 1971. There's so many things that they said and they were speaking on that still relate to this day.
Mm-hmm.
That right
wow.
there is a prime example of why we can't have the spotlight. Even if you take 30 minutes and watch it, that is a prime example of why we can't have the spotlight. Because it was just that intriguing. It was just that special. It was just that real. The conversation that they were having, and they were just talking about, you know, things all across the board. But the thing is, it was a very intellectual conversation, and see, that's the threat. Some of these shows were a threat. Even look at shows like Archie Bunker. As funny as it was, and some people say, oh, it was racist, it may had its elements, but it was real. And I think
yeah, but he was showing
years.
That. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
what you know why
that was his goal.
Yes, that was his
yeah.
goal. But it became a threat when it changed households. Households were becoming more developed. parents
exactly.
were working as a team. I'm just thinking mm-hmm. about, like, when I was in junior high school, my father would, all the stuff that these kids are learning right now about protesting and pro-black and all of this, he would kick in my head. They used to call them conscious dread. They still do. It's like, mm-hmm. I grew up on this. I already lived this, but I missed the mark with my siblings who are like 4 years younger than me, 5 years younger than me. And when I'm talking to them about the Black Wall Street, one of my sisters was like, Black Wall Street, break it down to me. And I'm like, you didn't learn this? And I said, wow. It's like certain things, these shows were being taught to us, not only to the parents, because some of us, our parents are not, you know, maybe 20 years older than us, let's say. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're watching it, too. They're mm-hmm. learning, too. So these shows like mm-hmm. The Cosby's were put into the households for the parents and the kids to learn. And you've seen a different kind of structure with family during those times, too. A lot of dads
yes,
were
right.
out there, you know, going out there working, come home, feed the family, make sure the bills pay, make sure their household is straight, and things like that. So it's a different kind of structure. And certain kids like our age possibly are now parents and they're, you know, that structured because of those shows.
Right.
So I worry about the next coming generations. What are they going to be watching?
Hmm.
If nobody at home is talking to them already.
Right, absolutely.
Well, the whole thing is who is talking to them? Because once again, it's like there's nothing relative, except for ratchetness, there's nothing relative on TV for them to even relate to, for someone
exactly.
to even engage in some type of conversation to be like, you know, look at this. Like, take this and run with it. Nobody is going
to
take,
that's
take,
our
take the ratchetness
to
and
find
run
it.
With it.
Mm-hmm, but that's
exactly.
our responsibility,
either,
too.
Either find it or make it. So mm-hmm. that's the whole thing. One thing that is that's becoming more and more dangerous about this whole movement that a lot of people, other than the melanated people, yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm trying to get away from that word black because I was watching something. And if you really look at it and think about it, and I've thought about it before, but then I just kind of brushed it off. But I watched something, and it actually kind of reminded me. It's a negative word. Like, if you look at the word black, you know, and to a kid, they'd be like, well, if that sounds negative and that's what you're calling me, then what does that say? So, I mean, real quick, that's why I'm just kind of, like, trying to distance myself, you know, away from using the whole, like, black people. Like, I'll use melanated, you know. But anyway, what's becoming more obvious to me that's dangerous about this whole Black Lives Matter movement or people becoming woke. There's a big difference between woke and conscious. Woke is when, you know, the alarm goes off and you're sitting on the edge of the bed. You hit the button and you're sitting on the edge of the bed trying to get your brain together. You woke. But you ain't fully grasping everything yet. And see, that's the next level. And I think a lot of people out there, unlike us, are very mad about the fact that we're on that path of becoming more conscious. That we're just like, you know what? I'd rather spend $20 with the black-owned spot than $10 with this spot. You know, I'd rather take my money and do this and do that. It's more conversation about what we need to do for us and with us, and that's about us. And I think a lot of places and people are nervous. A lot of businesses are nervous. Mm-hmm. And because it's like, wow, well, if they stop spending their money with us, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
If they stop following us, you know, what are we going to do? So,
right.
I mean, I find it beautiful. You know, because once again, being people or sticking with your people doesn't mean that you're anti everyone else. It's just that you just choose to, you know. I mean, listen, you have the Jews. They got their own areas. They kind of, they're segregated. But it doesn't mean that they're anti anyone.
Right.
Which, you know, for them, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. There's never any complaint on that.
But
it's
the difference with them. They didn't struggle through slavery and stuff. I want to say something real quick, Brother B, if you don't mind, on the Black Lives Matter stuff. People don't realize
okay.
that there's other organizations doing the same thing and probably more than what Black Lives Matter is doing. But for me, I feel like Black Lives Matter, listen to the name, Black Lives Matter. That's a huge impact on white America because their first response is, why does only Black Lives Matter? You get my point? That phrase alone sends out a humongous statement, and that's the problem there. They're not talking about the other foundations that's doing the same and more and have been there before Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter poses a threat and always has posed a threat, especially with the kneeling of Kaepernick.
True. Call of 7244, you're on the air.
Hello, peace and black power. How is everybody doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Good.
What's going on, brother? Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to say this. I am definitely very, very offended by Black Lives Matter. Me as being a one that has been, and I'm not sure if you guys remember where Black Lives Matter got their start, or got their, you know, got their feet on the ground. It was down in Ferguson, right? That was around about Mike Brown, right?
And yeah, it was Mike Brown.
You know, you guys been on the scene, the RBG scene, you know what I'm saying? There's been boots on the ground before this shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't this just, like, even there have been a lot of us doing things before George Floyd. George Floyd just wasn't the only one, you understand? So we've been a part of programs now, creating solutions for our people. So a lot of times when you have these Johnny Come Latelys that are coming out of the back, and then they aren't even, you know, giving praise and paying homage to the greats that have come before them. They're going to make it seem like they're doing some type of, that's one thing. All of these movements are going to be flawed until the movements of the young people stand on the backs of the good ancestors and also the elders that have been carrying the torch. But these new cats coming out of nowhere, and because now it's just like children. You understand? If children were running a house, if you let children run a house, they're going to let anybody in, right? But when you have moderation, when you have the adult, the mature one there, there's going to be a filter. You understand? And that's what we have now. Us as black people, us as African people, we don't want a sense of liberation or where we think we're going to get something, or we out here having a protest for Black Lives Matter, and we can't get that out of our mouth before the transgender come in and saying trans lives matter. You understand? This is a reality that we are seeing, and it's the one that the brother Darren Seals, D. Seals, this was the brother that got shot. He was a very strong voice. And he was organic. He was tied to more so the grassroots movement. And he was the one that was pointing the finger at the Black Lives Matter movement, saying that, hey, it was a whole bunch of other stuff that was behind that. And he was speaking out against that. And that brother lost his life. You understand? The brother got found. They still haven't found the killer. Got shot, burned
to
death.
He was on a bike? Was that the one where he was on a...
No, he got...
I think he was riding the other one.
That was the other one. That was the second one. That was the other brother. That was a little younger, dark skinned one. I think he was on the bike, and they were comrades. They were close, right? So he did get killed as well. But Darren Seals, he was the one that was more vocal, and he got set on fire and actually got found shot in his vehicle. You understand?
And this is just a reality.
And like the brother, like the sister was just saying, even when you hear this freaking rhetoric that's being promoted, Black Lives Matter, because, you know, we should all know by now George Soros is behind it, that thing, right?
Yeah. And don't forget they were trying to make it a political party.
Right. And that's what they're trying to do. And what you're finding is now that the LGBT
Enterprise was, yeah, sorry.
The LGBT community is, you got so many black gays that are in that, and so now, and I'm not talking about anybody on this line, right? But when we're talking about establishing integrity black back to the black family, I need the integrity back for the black man, showing what black men can show black boys how to be black men. You understand? What black women can show black girls how to be black women. This is the primary aspect. when we're talking about all our black African lives matter, let's go back to the family. We need to understand how to produce, how to procreate. You understand? We don't need all this other distortion, and now it's okay to be. No, we need to understand producing family structures. We need to be producing within our children. We need to show them, you know, how to be productive. But now we're at a place, even with the, you know, the whole, the topic of the show is about, talking about the images that our children see. Of course, they are images that are going to feed the degenerative nature, you understand, that they're trying to program into our children rather than feeding the good quality. Hey, you're a great African. Hey, you're a great black man. You can do it. You understand? And if you see a black man as great, he's going to be some type of puppet or something, right? Like, even in my opinion, Barack Obama, we all know that Negro was a puppet, right? So now you got people that are standing by lifting up, you understand, because Barack Obama. So let's talk about people like Marcus Garvey. Let's talk about people like Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, you understand, Martin Luther King. These people, a lot of times, they go under, you know, unless they have been highlighted for whatever reason. But it's very important for us to now add our historical content back to our imagery, back to our take over our cartoons. Our children are watching little white kids every morning. I mean, you know, so of course they're going to want to grow up and favor the white doll rather than they do the black doll. Let's go back and put our black dollars into video series like Mail Trek. The sister, Dr. Myatt, she has the Mail Trek series her and her children have come up with. So that's a good model to show our children, hey, we can get together and we can come up with something to produce and show the world and change the world. We don't have to get together and sell drugs. We don't have to get together and do something that's going to bring the community down. Let's now start showing, let's make some music. Y'all go and check out my brother, Ty-Ear RBG's new track. It's called Eleke, right? It's called Eleke, and in there that's some of the dopest music right now. Y'all go check it out, Ty-Ear RBG. And when we're talking about replacing the Drake, let's replace those nasty Negroes that are talking about disrespecting our women, and let's bring back the organic culture, because this is going to be the thing that's going to remind our children every day while they're going down the road looking good in their nice traditional garb. They're looking at each other, not with Tommy Hilfiger, not because you got on Tommy Hilfiger and I got on Levi's. Nah, everybody, we good. You understand? We're feeling good. We're singing each other, encouraging each other. This is what we need. This is what the Black Lives Matter is not going to do. You understand?
Can I like just say one thing, brother, what you said about Obama? I just want to say one thing with that. What I noticed with Obama, he was, you know, in Chicago way before he was president, on his feet, doing what he needed to do. But when he comes to the White House, we know he was a token black guy. We know this already. Uh-huh. It's not that he was a puppet. You a token black guy. You coming in there with your own agenda to clean up stuff. You're looking at it on a universal term. But one thing that I noticed with Obama, he kept his family structure despite those 8 years of being in public and the media and this, that. And as a black woman with Michelle Obama, and when she started with the food programs and it helped the schools and so forth and things like that, this presidency, I don't know what the first lady does for us. You understand what I'm saying? We don't see her out there. They kept their kids shielded. They kept their kids in education. Thank goodness for his own mother-in-law and so forth. So I look at Obama. He was taking care of his job and still taking care of his family, still protected his family. So we can talk about him all we want, that he was a puppet. One thing, his family was certainly protected while he was doing his duties.
That was one of the problems, because he that image. See, that's the whole thing. Is everybody else, it's good for everybody else to have that image, but we're not supposed to have that image, because something with his daughter, or he was wearing a wrong color suit. Like, it not isn't supposed to be a black man that is in love with his black woman, or a black woman that's in love with his black man, and the whole ideal of a black family. It's just not supposed to happen. And to get if I can respond to Mr. Equali's statement on the whole Black Lives Matter. Huh? I'm sorry, say it again.
Yeah, that's right. Equali. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, because I remember last time I messed it up. Once again, I apologize. My thing is,
no, you're good.
Listen, I don't care what your sexuality is. Because that should never come into play with the business that we need to tend to for ourselves. I'm going to say it again. I don't give a damn about your sexuality. It has nothing to do with the business that we need to take care of for ourselves. See, I can't deal with everybody else coming with their stuff when we have stuff to deal with. That's like Lady T is like Lady T and Big Red and Mia in the kitchen, and I'm making soup, Red is making fried chicken, and Lady T's making salad. When I'm going over to Lady T saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe you should add something in your salad. I should mind my business. I'm making the soup, right? She make the salad, and I go over to Red. Well, I think you're seasoning this wrong. You see what I'm saying? Like, listen, if we all in there to make a meal, everybody do their part and make your meal. Like, this is a division within
the division. You don't need to micromanage me, in other words.
Exactly. It's like, listen, you want to be transgender and black, that's a problem. That's on you. You want to be a lesbian and black, that's a problem. You want to be homosexual and black, that's your problem. We have, as a black people, we have a total whole problem. So your sexuality has nothing to do with this vehicle. And that's what I'm tired of getting mashed together. Years ago, I had a great conversation with someone who was homosexual. And he was like, yo, B, I don't like all of this. Everybody talk about they come out of the closet, they doing all this and they doing all that. And I was like, well, why? Because, you know, aren't you with the whole pride thing? He said, no, because I don't have shit to prove. He told me, this, like, I don't have shit to prove to anybody. I know who I am. I have my relationship. Why do I need to announce it to the world? Like, I don't have anything
people,
to prove.
Yeah, a lot of them don't. They'll tell you they don't have. It's other people that brought those out on those young ladies that they were gay. They never came out and said they were gay. I didn't even know they were gay until when she said when they – was doing a Ferguson march and how big it got and how people started realizing that they started, you know, just like they would do any celebrity, go through your history and scoop up as much as they could on you or if anything that they could. And that's the only thing they could have found. Hey, two of them are gay and they have hidden agendas. That's how the rumors started. You know, it's really bad.
Well, I think once again off the website.
It started before the website. It started since Ferguson.
If I could just weigh in, because the reality is that everybody on this line right now has come. They come from a mother and father, right? You have, right?
Yeah.
What we're talking about is being promoted. What is being promoted? Because even like I come from the hood, so you might have things like a person being a homosexual here and there, but that wasn't really popular. You might have things of a degenerative nature, like selling drugs, like shooting at each other, robbing people. Even though robbing someone could get people, you get you some money in your pocket. You understand? Somebody may be able to feed their family. I don't condone it. So when we're talking about coming to the table, talking about how we can fix our community, you leave your degeneration over there, because the reality is, you know what I'm saying, if we're not coming together, trying to make ourselves better individuals, you need to stay your behind at home. Because you only wind up bringing that trash, and this is why we cannot. We've been doing this stuff for a long time now. We done had a lot of movements. But because we have no filter there, we're going to let any and everything in. And when we say stuff like that, we have to be – because when you go to talk about Masonic lodges, you ain't going to just get in. We're talking about Easter Star lodges. You're not going to just get in. Whether it be a Greek a fraternity or sorority, you don't just get in. You have to have codes. So, therefore, when we're talking about liberating the people that have been done the worst ever, we don't think they need a code as it relates to establishing the quality, the true, genuine quality within their nature. So I was at, and I'm going to tell you, I feel what you're saying, brother, and I'm not saying that, hey, I want to shoot anybody down, just like my brother that's out there robbing somebody. You understand? Although he might not be able to come to the table with me when we're discussing such and such, we can talk about something, and hopefully he can leave that robbing stuff alone. But I went to a Juneteenth festival, right, which is supposed to be talking about specifically about black folk. There was a homosexual host basically acting very flamboyant, okay, very flamboyant. Now, this is per my wife. She felt disrespected. You understand? So rather than lifting up, we have men out here now trying to model and act like black women. You understand? And I'm not sure about all black women, but that's a spit in some of our black women's face. Just like when it is when a white boy is coming up trying to act like a black man. If you're a real black man, you're going to be insulted. You're not going to feel good. You're going to feel insulted when you're talking about true integrity. So that's the only way we're going to genuinely fix this thing. If not, we're going to piss in the wind for the next 100 years because we allow something dirty to get back into the laundry that we're trying to wash. We have to be we've been sick for a very long time. So right now, when you're sick, you are very cautious on the people that you're around. You're definitely not going to let any germy person know. You're not. So if we're looking at the science and mathematical way to get this thing solved and fixed, that's got to be the way. It's going to be a lot of cutting off. It's a whole lot of people that we're going to have to cut off.
Yeah, that's a nice period, but a lot of people, yeah, you're right about that, quality over quantity, and a lot of people don't have integrity. That's something that they lack.
That's right, that's right.
They missed that. Mm-hmm. They missed that from this new generation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We grew up, at least all of us on this phone, if I could speak for us, I grew up with integrity. I didn't know what integrity was when I was 5 years old and my grandmother was talking to me about integrity and having respect, being resilient. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand these words until I started experiencing certain things. You know what I mean?
That's very important.
I get that. But now, see, the whole thing is, what's sad is that people like us, we have to continue to fight because, first of all, the people before us, they're tired of fighting. We were supposed to pick up the torch, and we were supposed to make the change, but somewhere we didn't. So now, for this generation, we have to fight for them for the next generation, because the pot is poisoned. They're tainted. They're too far gone. And it's not to say that I don't have any hope for them, but the whole thing is, if you look at it like this, they're not having these conversations. They ain't built like that. They're not the warriors of tomorrow. We have to look at shit for what it is, accept it, and move forward. These are not the warriors that we know and that we are. Because, see, when we was growing up, talk to me, Red, self-destruction, you know, even the West Coast came out with their whole situation. I mean, they was
all in the same
thing. Exactly. You had different genres of music, but you had your conscious component, and no one can dispute that. You had your X-Cleanse, you know, you had certain other, you know, entities, but the whole thing is now everything is stupefied. Everything is dumb. And nothing is nothing about going to get your education. Nothing about using your brain. Everything, like you said, you know, if I can say, you know, E, is all about B's, H's, and this, that, and the third. Everything is derogatory.
So let me put a bug in your ear. Put a bug in your ear. Now, I just looked through Facebook a little bit, and y'all know that, I'm not interested, but the BET Awards is on, right? So now my thing is this. We've been preaching to our kids, like I said, just like you said, with self-destruction, Public Enemy, and all those, you know, X-Clan and all that. So now we've been preaching this to our kids, probably preaching this to our kids now, you know, because, you know, and let them know that, listen, this is our move. This is what our movement was when we were younger, when things were happening and whatever, right? Okay, so now my thing is this. Public Enemy ain't been on an award show in years. The last time I remember them being on an award show was the American Music Awards, and that was back in 80-something, 90-something, and when they didn't win for a particular award, they just, you know, they was like, you know, we're not dealing with this bullshit. So now, my thing is this. BET, because I think, and it's like, I hate saying it like this, but once again, it's like a trend. It's like, now they want to jump on the bandwagon with this positive thing now, because those BET Awards have been ratchet for the last, eight, 7, 8, 9 years or 5 or 6 years. But now,
I'm sorry, Red. I was just picturing when Snoop and came and took the mic. It's been ratchet since then. Remember that with the East Coast
West Coast?
Exactly,
that's what I'm saying.
Sorry, I just pictured that. Sorry about that.
So now think about this. Now, I remember, I think it might have been about 2 years or 3 years ago. It might have been a while ago when Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole.
Yeah.
And people really didn't, like, it was like, oh, yeah, that's just Kendrick Lamar. That's J. Cole. Okay, y'all, and they would, and they're with that conscious type of thing. So now, with what happened, you know, with what's going on now? So now y'all want to jump on the bandwagon with Public Enemy and all this stuff. Oh, now y'all want to. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, why does it have to be something that has to be popular? Something has to happen. People have to be killed or died or whatever for something to be. For you to say, you know, now we got to fight them. So you know, so to speak, fight the power. Y'all should have been fighting the power.
If
y'all been
no
fighting the power, we wouldn't have been
to
the point.
Wasn't no need.
Right.
They didn't even need to sing it. Now they got to be on the bandwagon to get back that popularity. Oh, these youngsters would be, yo, who's that dude with the clock? You get what I'm saying? So you're getting back your recognition. You know, why not? They doing it as, is it called tokenism? Am I using the right term?
Well, Chuck D has never, you know, stepped down from his stance. I mean, you know, they booted him off Def Jam because it wasn't about consciousness anymore, you know? So it's like, hey, I mean, how are we making music? We ain't on no label, ain't got no home. I mean, they've still been doing what they've been doing. But see, now all of a sudden it's like, hey, Chuck, why don't you guys, you know, come on stage and, you know, give him the time. But that's the tokenism part.
That's the token, right?
And
the media is tokenism.
I mean, if I was Chuck D, I would have said, hell no. I said, now you want to give us some burn? Because the world
right.
is burning. Now
remember
you,
when
you
George Floyd passed?
We're not going to be the soundtrack.
George Floyd passed, Brother B, and Ice Cube said, nope, I'm not doing this Good Morning America, I think, interview he had that same day. He set that down because you know where they was going
to
go. He knew the questions was going to go back to NWA, F the police. You know, they
want to
exploit him a little bit. You know what I mean? So he said,
he said, off the top.
I'm not going to be your Uncle Tom, exactly.
Right. They want to see how well you can dance, and so even within these,
we did that,
you know,
right.
We did that
in the slavery days. We did that.
Yeah. Right. But I think some of these cats, like Public Enemy, they might get kind of old and kind of washed out, and they might say, "Well, hey man, there's an extra $500,000, or you know, they got so a lot, you know, they might put their dancing shoes on for the first time, or you know, even with, you know, I'm pretty sure they saw the extent that we saw. Like, hey man, you hadn't even invited us before now, so now everybody's getting liberated in that movement. Now you want to have, man, that's an insult. You understand? But
it is.
You know, obviously they got some tap shoes on. I hadn't saw it, but I know a lot of times the imagery. I did see Lizzo. I saw her, and that was terrible. She sucks. I hate her. You understand? Because she promotes this nasty stuff, and we got so many of our children out there that girls. Specifically, that are going missing. Every day we're talking about how many seconds, how many minutes, every minute our girls go missing. Black girls. You understand? And we got somebody out here promoting. And this is when I say, you know, whether it be homosexual or just, you know, raunchy and ratchet, these are not the images that our children need to be seeing. So you keep all that degenerative stuff over there. You understand? Because when you're out here, our children are very impressionable. And they're going to be seeing it. Of course, they got their parents, but they're going to be seeing it. So when we're talking about the image, of course, the people, the white folks behind the black TV shows, they're going to promote you to be as stupid as hell. They're going to encourage you to do some of the dumbest stuff, but it takes up. How many millionaires we got? We need to rewrite this stuff, man. We need to stop being so many damn slaves and start to get our own stuff and invest in our own imagery. This is the only way we're going to be at that place.
I remember the elders always used to say, and you know the deal, Red, is all about discretion.
Yeah.
And
right.
our
right.
people
right.
really don't believe in discretion anymore.
That's right.
There's
That's
certain
right,
things.
Man.
It,
no filter.
Once again, it goes back to what the elders used to say. It's not what you do. It's
how
you
do it.
And everybody don't need to see what you're doing.
We need
because
to get back to
everybody's
home,
business.
Talking at home, just like you said with the elders. We're the elders.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Y'all know that, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, because, yo, I mean, there's, listen, you know, I never knew, you know, when my mother was alive, I knew her as my mother, but I didn't know her as a woman. But that was none of my business. Because to her role to me was my mother, and that was that. But see, she kept that life separate. Who she was as a woman or as a wife, she kept that separate. When I saw her, I saw, hey, Ma, I need some pancakes. Or, hey, Ma, I need something to drink. That was the role that I seen her in. The same thing with the father. My father, hey, what he does, well, you know, men are a little different. You know, they'll do certain
things.
Yeah,
y'all way different.
Be like, I don't give a damn. we different. You know what I'm saying? My daughter says it like that, really. But the whole thing is, certain things as a man you don't need to see. You don't need to see me do this. You just need to know that I'm your father, and that's that. Because I don't want you to ever think that what you see me doing is something that you should be doing. You learn certain things on your own, but I'm not going to be responsible for passing that to you. But see, now, kids is out here seeing it all. They're seeing their mothers with this. They're seeing their fathers doing that. You know, everything is, there's no filter. There's no shade. There's no screen. There's nothing.
Nope, not at all.
Everything is all out in the open. And these kids are just absorbing everything. And then some kids wonder, some parents, some old adults wonder why. How are your kids cursing like that? Because the mother or the father be cursing that kid the same damn way. So what do you think is going to happen? When they get older, they're going to disrespect your dumb ass too. Because you put the battery in the back for them to be disrespectful. There's certain things that these kids just don't need to see. They're growing up too quick. And when they grow up too quick, and they especially growing up on the wrong shit, they grow wrong and then what? Once again, they're not ready to fight this battle. They're not. That's why every turn, you still see these cops, these white cats out here who wear the uniform, they're still doing the same thing that they've been doing. They're not going to stop. But then at the same time, are we wrong when is a white person or somebody else wrong when they say, oh, but you just had 104 killings in Chicago, or you just had this going on or that going on, but you're complaining about the police? One thing has nothing to do with the other, but at the same time, sadly, sometimes it does. Because if we don't value ourselves, then we're just basically telling everybody else, well, shit, you can do what you want to do because I don't value myself. I don't care. You're going to do whatever you want to do anyway. We can't
give
them this power. What's up?
I want to ask you guys a question. I'm not sure what anybody's religious background is, but when you talk about feeling good about the image of yourself, feeling good about yourself. I was just talking to somebody about this. I'm 40-something years old, and I remember coming up in my church for, you know, and I'm from what I understand is similar in all churches, but I went to church, and behind the black preachers, behind the quiet, you would see a big old picture of a white Jesus, right? Long, straight hair, blue eyes. And we know the majority of our people, they idolize or hold high to one person. Nobody is beyond Jesus. I think all of us can agree to that, right? And, you know, the majority of our people, when we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at that. They say, Jesus doesn't have any color. I'll be doggone because I just saw a picture. If you go to Google and type Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, you're going to see the same figure. Not going to have any black figure. Although in the word, in actually, it says the Son of Man has the head of wool, skin of burnt bronze, burnt brass, and eyes like fire, right? We know this. But the depiction is definitely blasphemous to what the word says. So this takes me to a place where Ashra Kwesi, a great historian, a great researcher, he says basically what has happened is our enemy has become our deity. So when we're talking about, hey, why do I hate you? Why do I look in the mirror and hate myself? Why does the little girl, you know, they did the little study, why does the little black girl point to the white dog rather before the black girl, before the black dog? This is the same systematic mind control that has been implemented and embedded into our minds, into the minds of our ancestors, and now still being perpetuated. So I think it's a thing. This kind of shows us the work that we have to do and the trees that we have to chop down. So if you are one that goes to church, the liberation for the church might be, hey, man, we need to take down this white Jesus and put up this black Jesus because this don't even coincide what's in the word if we call ourselves almighty Christians. You feel me? So even by allowing that, and you are a Christian, by you allowing this lie to be in the back of your head, you're allowing this lie to be good as long as it's relative to a white man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's blasphemy is okay
as long as it works for you.
Yeah, right. But, of course, when you're in a European system and, you know, but I think the actual thing, it may work for a time. It may work for some of us. But when we're looking at here, 2020, you know, what we can see is that we've been pissing in the wind, where the collective of us can't see freedom, where we're having to see a black man getting treated worse than a dog, right? No. To me, that one black, that's not me on the ground. It's not my family member, but he is a representation that very well could be me. You understand? So I think that shows a lot how much money we done made. You got people that are police, that are lawyers, that are doctors, right? We got all type of black billionaires. What good is that if to say that we're still getting treated like dogs?
True.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. We got 3 minutes left. We got 3 minutes left. Lady T, any parting words?
You know what I'm already going to say? You got to go back to the structure of family, home, start monitoring what your kids are watching.
True. Red?
Well, you know, like I said, we have to get to a point where, you know, that's another thing that we need to fight for. We need to try and get some of these networks to keep, like, when we do get positive shows, keep them on. Don't cancel them or have them on because you feel that the ratings are not going to go up or you're not going to make that money off of that program. Give them a chance. Let people watch it. Give it more, you know, more coverage, and then maybe you'll get the fact, you know, you'll get people to watch it, but then, you know, they're looking at, like I said, they're looking at the money part of it. That's what they're looking for, the ratings and the money part of it.
True. Well, I mean, I think Mr. Equali signed off. You have a good night, brother. Thank you always for calling in, supporting the shows. I'll say this. We got a lot of work to do, a lot of reprogramming. And to me, it's not about, we can't do that kid glove shit. Like, it got to be some hands-on, like, yo, listen, this is what you're going to do. Like, I don't care what you think you're going to do. Because how many times have we heard that, Red? Lady T, I don't care what you think you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I refuse, you're like, you can't let anybody else raise your kid other than you. Because when you don't have that control and somebody else does, the next thing you know, I mean, look what happens. We let too many entities and too many other things, you know, teach our kids things that we need to be teaching them. We need to take the time. We need to make the time to actually be parents, to be brothers, to be sisters, to be friends, to communicate with one another on a deeper level than just, you know, hey, what's up, nigga, or, you know, let's go get a brew, or let's go get it. Nah, I mean, it's, you know, there's other things to do. And like I said, we got a lot of work to do. And sometimes we don't know where to start, but like Lady T said, like Red Grease as well, we got to start in the home, because that's the first foundation, or the first level of education. We start at home. You know, there's certain things that I've learned from my parents, and both my parents have been going for years, but I still carry that. You know.
Yep.
And with that being said, another show in the can. Catch you in 2 weeks. Thanks again for listening. Monday nights, Absolute Truth and The Menu. Tuesday nights on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. You guys be well. Have a blessed night. Enjoy your week.
All right.
Good night.
Later, guys. All right. Good night.
Later. Thanks.